can see you now. Actually, I like the lights on. That helps. Glad you're here. You glad to be here? So about 7 years ago, a good friend of mine that was also a coworker recommended a book that I read, which was called A Complaint-Free World. Now, when you stop and think about it, it's kind of like when somebody offers you a piece of gum or a breath mint. Are they just being nice and sharing? Or are they trying to tell you something about your breath? So either way, my good friend was an avid reader, always recommended great books. So I bought the book, I read it, and I absolutely loved it. And within this book, there was a challenge to go 21 days straight without complaining, criticizing, or gossiping. So this is the complaining group, this is the Those three things were a part of this 21-day challenge. Now, it's no small task as you think about those three character issues, all right, and the fact that every time you goofed up and caught yourself doing one of those three things, you had to start the 21-day count all over again. Yeah, that laughter, this should be a little laughter thing up there, right? It took me not 21 days, not 1 month, not 2 months, not 3 months, not 4 months, not 5 months, not 6 months, not 7 months, almost 8 months of giving my best attention towards this 21-day challenge before I actually went my first 21 days without doing those three things. Now, the truth is that when my friend recommended that book to me, I was not self-aware the amount of complaining that I was doing. Now, the truth is, we all complain, right? Some of us more than others, yes? In fact, I bet when I mentioned this subject of complaining, that someone who complains a lot came to your mind. It's like, boom! And probably that person was not you. Why is that? Psychologists say we have this thing called illusory superiority, that we think of ourselves better than we actually are. It's a common psychological thing, right? We're all the same in this way. The Bible says not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. They're talking about this thing of illusory superiority, right? We know that not everyone can be above average, right? You know, they take these surveys and most people score above average. It doesn't work statistically, right? So the reality is we all have blind spots. We have things about our character under construction, which is the series we're currently in, where if we would be more self-aware, if we would remove those blind spots, that would help us to change and improve things in our lives so that we would be a better version of Jesus in us. So just for the fun of it, I want us to do a little exercise. Turn to one or two people around you and just say, "Hi, my name is, and I'm a complainer." Two people, get on your mark, get set, go. All right, so you've got lots of people having to come clean here. So I borrowed that line from Alcoholics Anonymous, all right? My first step in becoming complaint-free, or at least complaining less, was to admit I had a problem. So if any of you have been through any 12-step type of programs, you know that that is the first thing. I have to have self-awareness, not that it's just in you or you or you or you, but that it's in me. If I didn't first admit I had a problem, I would never get better. That was step number one. AA also uses what's called the serenity prayer. I love that prayer, and it should be on the screen. Lord, grant me the serenity or the peace, the calm, to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can. That's the line. All these lines are good in this prayer. I especially want to underscore that line. The courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, I've learned that at least for me, when I complain, criticize, and gossip, the focus is no longer on this vision I have of how I can be more like Jesus. It usually means I'm making excuses, I'm blaming my circumstances, or I'm just trying to feel better about myself by putting others down. That's what gossiping really is. If I can talk about other people in such a way that they're less than me, by extension, I feel better about myself. I mean, that's not really what's happening. It's not good for us. But in our minds, we think that's what is happening, correct? So, character under construction. Today, I'm going to invite you to come along with me, and I would love for all of you to take the 21-day challenge. Oh, come on. Yeah! I want to do that. All right, by the end of the message, I hope we get a yeah! I want to do that. So why the 21-day challenge? Well, I think it is a perfect way that we can take a tangible step towards engaging our hearts, engaging our character, so that we are more in line with the heart of the Father. Jesus said that out of the overflow of the heart, when Jesus talked about the heart, he wasn't just boom, 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 boom. Talking about the mind, the emotions, everything about us. Out of the overflow of our character, the mouth speaks. So if we can get a sense of what is actually coming out of our mouth, get some kind of a check-in with our complaining, our criticizing, and our gossiping, it shines a light on the character that we have within our heart. So we can learn about our character by paying attention. It's kind of like a warning light on the dashboard of your character. You know how the dashboard of your car is giving you a signal that you need to pay attention to something integral about your car. Sometimes it's something as simple as you need to put air in your tire, but sometimes it's something more significant like your oil level is really low. Now you could just say, oh, maybe there's something wrong with the dashboard. Maybe my dashboard is broken and really my oil level is fine. No, in most cases, that is an accurate warning light. When we complain, it's a warning light saying, maybe, probably, something's going on in my heart. When we're being very critical, it should be a warning light that we don't ignore, something is going on in my heart. I spent a number of years doing professional counseling, and I was taught in school that there are two major schools of approaching change. One is a cognitive approach where we think about the way we think and try to adjust the way we think. And the other is behavioral where we change the things we do. We can think our way towards a new behavior or we can behave our way into a new way of thinking. This 21-day challenge that I would love for you to do, I believe is a way that we can engage in a new behavior. I'm going to stop doing something. So it can have ramifications for the way that we think. It's both behavioral and cognitive and will change how the Holy Spirit wants to guide our words and to guide our hearts. It's a little bit like the discipline of fasting. Have anybody fasted from food before? Not fasting. I'm going to go on a little rabbit trail here. But not like fasting where you don't eat a particular food on Friday and you eat another food on Friday. Not that kind of thing. I mean like you don't eat food at all. You don't eat food at all for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. Like the real kind of thing. All right? This is like a fasting from complaining, criticizing, and gossiping. Now, the goal of fasting, Jesus just didn't say, I want you to fast for the sake of fasting and if you'll fast all the time, I'll love you. No. He knew that when we say no to food, it gives our hearts a chance to say, I love feeding from your word. It's like it calms down the cry of our stomach all the time, feed me, put more food in me, listen to my voice, the stomach says. God says, no, no, no. That's You are a spiritual being who happens to have a body, and I know the body cries out and wants you to do all kinds of squirrely things like eat all the time, right? What I'm saying is that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my mouth. And I want you to hear my voice, and if you'll stop eating all the time and fast, it will help you hear my voice. So when we fast from complaining, criticizing, and gossiping, it's a chance for our hearts just to take a breath and say, what is supposed to come out of my mouth? What is the condition of my heart? All right, so before I explain the 21-day challenge, just a little bit about the power of our words. Okay, let's start on a very positive note. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't zone out. Turn to the person and say, don't zone out. This is important. This is important. All right, take a look at this text in Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Now, this is one of those like mind-blowing truths that jump out in the very first book of the Bible, which we dare not gloss over. God likes the way we are made. He thought to himself, one day I may inhabit a body. I may call his name Jesus. He might be my son, and I want him to live in exactly the same kind of body that you have. I want him to have a tongue. I want him to have a mouth. I want him to be able to speak words. In fact, I think I'll inspire somebody to say that he is actually the Word of God. Are you with me? The way we are made, the way we are able to use language is part of being made in the image of God. And part of that is that we have the ability to have rulership and authority over things in part because we can communicate. Now, I think that is a huge, huge, huge deal. The psalmist says in Psalm 139 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The power of words, going back to Genesis, is so strong that God speaks words, let there be light, and it goes on to say, and there was. Imagine, God could just, there's so much power in the spoken word that God, whose image we are made in, says words are powerful. What I don't want you to do by zoning out right now is say, oh, that's just something that God does. He doesn't want us to pay attention to our words because our words don't matter. That's what I don't want you to do. Our words are so powerful. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are, I may have misspoke that. So the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Things were made because of the spoken word of God, is what the Hebrew writer is saying. When Jesus actually inhabited his made in the image God body and spoke, he said, in John 6:63, the words I have spoken to you are full of spirit and life. We have within us the potential to speak words that have spirit and life, but we need to be aware, according to Proverbs 18:21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. We can change the environment for good or bad by the words that we speak. We can build up with words of faith, or we can destroy with words of fear. Faith builds up, fear will destroy. In fact, Jesus taught that our words really are like seeds. Right now, my tomato plants are doing pretty good. There was a little lull in there where they stopped producing, but I didn't actually put a seed in the ground. I bought a plant. I cheated. But somebody, before I got a hold of that plant, put a seed in the ground. So when Jesus taught the parable of the sower, right? Everybody knows that, the parable of the sower. he was saying when he explained it to the disciples that seeds and words have something in common. That when I plant a tomato seed, I am going to reap tomatoes if I do everything right. Gets amount of rain, sunlight, disease doesn't kill it. I'm going to get a tomato. In fact, there is so much power in that first seed. If I would not eat any of those tomatoes, which would be hard not to do, and I would just cultivate all the seeds for that one seed, I would get a lot of seeds. Are you with me? Yes? Some of you don't grow things, but you get the idea. One seed reproduces a lot of seeds that are just like the first seed. That's my point. Words are seeds. The question is, what seeds are we sowing? Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a curveball here. Not only the words that we speak to other people, so I can instill fear in someone by the words I use. I can instill worry. Some people don't worry, they're just a carrier, right? When you're with them, you just worry because they're such a worrier. How does that thing happen? They plant seeds of worry in other people. People are fearful and they plant seeds of fear in other people. We not only do it in other people, but we do it to ourselves. This is key. What words are we saying to ourselves? Are they hope-filled words? Are they true words? Or are they weeds from the enemy? We know that the enemy does planting too. There's a story about that. It's called the parable of the tares. Okay? What are we going to plant? Was going to skip that next slide just to keep moving on here. So, if you're not satisfied with your harvest, what you sow, you'll reap, check the seeds you're sowing. The law of sowing and reaping is as fixed as the law of gravity. It works all the time. We reap what we sow. Okay, we've got about 7 more minutes. What is complaining? It seems silly that we need to define it, but let's talk about it. To complain is a verb. It means to express grief, pain, or discontent, as small as such a thing as complaining about the weather. And you're like, Dwayne, you've gone way too far right now. Everybody complains about the weather, right? Yes? I mean, it's common. But I put that example up there just to kind of stimulate us a little bit about how pervasive this thing of complaining or thinking negatively can get within our hearts and our minds. The weather's too hot, it's too cold. It's too wet, it's too dry. Drivers on the highway, they're too fast, they're too slow, right? They change lanes too often or not often enough. We have to wait in traffic. We have to wait in line anywhere, and the list goes on and on. Dare I mention politics? Dare I mention social media? Right? Complaining is epidemic, it feels like, in 2018. 5 reasons we complain. Gripe, G-R-I-P-E, to get attention. I could give examples of all these things. We want to remove personal responsibility. Well, I couldn't do it because, right? To inspire envy, to have power, to excuse our poor performance. Will Bowen, the author of the book that I read, says a complaint is an energetic statement that focuses on the problem at hand rather than the solution sought. A complaint has energy, typically, how dare this happen to me energy. And the biggest problem with complaining is this. It keeps our focus on what is wrong so that we don't even consider the ways a situation might be improved. I think that's the biggest hook in all of this. It focuses only on the problem and not the solution. Maya Angelou wrote, "Complaining lets a bully know that a victim is in the neighborhood." Now that's profound, so let me read that again. complaining lets a bully know that a victim is in the neighborhood. She also said, if you don't like something, change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude. Don't complain. Chinese, the word complain is composed of two symbols, hug and ego. The Chinese believe that to complain is to hug your ego. Psychologist Robin Kowalski wrote, many complaints involve attempts to elicit a particular interpersonal reaction from others, such as sympathy or approval. For example, people may complain about their health not because they actually feel sick, but because the sick role allows them to achieve secondary gains, such as sympathy from others or the avoidance of adverse effects. Complaining never attracts what we want. It perpetuates what we don't want. It's pollution of the mind and the soul. Paul says in Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generations. Then, and this is really beautiful, if you will go on this journey and you will stop this addiction to complaining, this is what you will look like within the context of the general culture. You will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. That is a beautiful picture. Want to take the 21-day challenge? Yes, who was that? All right, love it. So, we're going to go a couple minutes over. Would you run that video? Here's a testimony of some people who took the challenge.
Will induce happiness. Hi, my name's Sam, and I've been working this program for 13 months, and to tell you the truth, I've only made it to day 17, but you know what? I feel great. I know that I make my own lunch, and it's delicious. I tell all my friends about the program. I even told my dad about it. He's now a complaint-free person. Will Bowen is a light and a bundle of positive energy. I highly recommend this program. Get into it. Get into it now.
I actually recommended it to a friend during lunch one day. She insisted on complaining about everything, the food, the service, the everything. And I said, hey, put this on. She put on the bracelet. I said, now this is what you have to do. Every time you complain, you have to take the bracelet off and put on your other wrist. That way you're aware of how much you're actually complaining, and maybe we would have lunch with you more if you didn't complain so much.
I look at life through a different lens, and I'm full of joy and freedom, and I think that that's what you can get out of this, and I'm excited for you. I'm excited for the world that's ahead of you once you figure out that complaining is a thing of the past. So I highly recommend this program, and I look forward to you leaping into joy.
Hi, Dr. Joe Vitale here. You know me from the movie The Secret. You know some of my books like The Attractor Factor and Zero Limits. What you may not know is I love the concept of a complaint-free world. By God, we're complaining too much and the complaints aren't getting us anywhere. Complaints are a way to negatively attract what you don't want. So what you want to do is focus on attracting what you do want, and you do that by stating intentions. Stop complaining. Sign up for this course. I know Will Bowen. I know his work. I know him. I know his books. I love his concept. I think he's a genius. And you have a chance to enroll and do something great with your life. So don't complain. Sign up today. Thanks. Do it. Do it now.
All right. So here's how it's going to work. So the bracelet they were talking about is this purple bracelet, silicone. A complaint-free world. So here's how I did my deal. So that I could start paying attention and become aware that I was a complainer, every time I would catch myself complaining, I would take the bracelet from this side and move it to this side as just a 4-second little break to call attention and become aware of the fact, okay, that was a complaint, that was a criticism. I was gossiping. I go through my day, it happens again, I take it off, and I move it to the other wrist. So in the beginning, it's just something we do to kind of stop the process and become aware. So If you say, I want to do the challenge, it's very important that you don't skip over that process. You literally do this. Are you with me now? Okay. So, if you want to go and take this 21-day challenge, you can do that as an individual, or you can get into a new small group that will last for 6 weeks. The content of the small group is especially about how do I become complaint-free, criticism-free, and gossip-free in my life. That is the curriculum, okay? There are two tables in the back. There's one on this side, one on that side. If you sign up either to take the challenge and to become in a small group, you don't have to do both. You will get periodic emails that provide additional content and encouragement. And then if you say that you want to get in a small group, we'll actually figure out how to get little clusters of you together so that you can encourage each other. Hopefully that made sense. Take the challenge?
Yeah.
About 10 people. Let's pray. Father, thank you. There is a hidden treasure in our words. And Father, I would guess that our understanding about the potential for good is just really small right now. So I'm going to pray that more and more people will take this challenge and that the end result will be a higher sense of confidence and competence in how to speak your words in such a way that lives are changed. Our lives are changed, we become more like Jesus, and we change the lives of others because we speak words that are full of the Spirit and life. And we stop partnering with the devil and sowing weeds of fear, negativity, complaining, all that toxicity, Father, that you'll rid it from our mouths and you'll rid it from our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.